Our special guest now, Vernon Mahubble, as we're going to talk about his work. He's a palm reader, and he'll be talking about the future of all of us with palms. And in the last hour of the program, we're going to try to do some readings of your palm with Vernon. He'll explain how that works, but we'll give that a try. But lots to talk with him about when we come back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We've got a fascinating couple hours for you. Vernon Mahubble back with us, founder and director of the Palmistry Institute in Los Angeles. Back in 1979, he began formal training in the Vedic cosmology, resulting in numerous trips to India. Vernon combines Western astrological palmistry with Chinese elemental hand analysis, continues to explore some new research. A couple of his books include The Palmistry Cards and Talk to the Hand, A Field Guide to Practical Palmistry. Vernon, welcome back. Great time to have you come back, too.
Thank you, George. Thank you for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
What is Vedic cosmology? Kind of explain that for us.
Vedic cosmology is the study of the stars in the ancient Hindu system, or the system of the Asian system, really. It is not just the study of astrology, but it's the study of the different planetary arrangements in the universe, the upper planetary systems, the lower, the middle, that type of stuff. So it's the Vedic aspects go into astrology very much, but there's also a large aspect of understanding the different planets and what they do and who lives on them and their cosmology and that type of stuff.
Did it enhance your palmistry abilities?
Oh, absolutely. The first teacher I learned from, his name was Patrick, and he taught me the Western system, and I stayed with him for 5 years. And,
that's a long time.
The Western system of astrology or palmistry is great because you can really understand a person's career, their life work, even where they should live, the best places to live and work. And the Eastern astrology, the Vedic astrology, the system that's credited to India right now, it's what's called generally moon-based, and that simply just means that it's more about the person. It's more about the person's emotions, their feelings, that type of thing. So Western astrology is great for understanding a person's outer life, and Vedic or Indian astrology is great for understanding who we are internally.
How did you get involved in all this?
Well, shortly after high school, I was walking around New York City where I lived, and I used to see this guy reading hands on St. Mark's Street.
Oh.
And all my friends used to hang out at that area, the Lower East Side, so I always saw him giving readings to people. I didn't know what he was doing, so I got up the courage to ask him, "What are you doing?" And he said, I'm doing readings, and he became my palmist. He became my palmistry teacher for 5 years, and I just watched him read hands. And the interesting thing, George, is that people would walk away from his table and say to him that you've told me more than any psychologist or psychotherapist has ever told me in this just 10-minute, 15-minute session.
True.
And I was astounded by that. People would tell him, "Oh, you taught me. You told me the exact career I should go into." People would say, "I've went to so many career counselors and consultants, and they didn't tell me what you said." So I was just struck by that, the fact that you could get so much out of just reading a hand.
It is amazing that the palm will allow you to really ascertain everything about an individual. How does that work?
Well, you know, on Coast, there's so many esteemed astrologers, and palmists are doing the same thing, only our agency is the palm of the hand. So in the same way astrologers look at the different planets and the signs and the houses, and they usually do it on computers now, they don't have to draw it all out like they did 2,000 years ago, we get all our information from the lines and the creases and the configurations right on the palm. So it's non-different than astrology. Palmistry is the same as astrology, except for one aspect that I think is very important, in that it has an intuitive aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of astrologers tend to be very data-oriented or kind of, you know, in their brain, in their mind a lot, which is great because you want astrology, you want astrologers to be accurate. And that's there too with palmistry. But palmistry, because you're looking at a person's hand, it radiates a tremendous amount of psychic energy. And the palmist can pick up on this. So a seasoned and professional palmist can get a lot from the hand in the world of looking at the planets and the signs and the houses. But if you get intuition, you can read around the planets, so to speak, and it makes for an incredibly deep reading.
They say that there are, of the 7 billion people on this planet, no two fingerprints are alike. Is that really accurate?
George, there's no two fingerprints that are alike. Now, there are categories of fingerprints. For instance, there's 16 types of general fingerprints, but even within that, there's thousands of different subcategories. And the reason our prints are different is because we're different as individuals. The Navajo Indians had a legend, and they said that at 7 months in the womb, God will blow his breath on the hands of the infant. And that's when they say the soul comes into the body.
Interesting.
But as he's blowing his breath on the hands, that's where the fingerprints are created. So the Navajo say the fingerprints have to do with the identity of the soul. And palmists believe the same thing. In other words, the reason they're also individuals is because we're individual. They have to be. They have to be different.
Now, when you look at the fingerprints of the left hand and the right hand, are they the same or are they all different?
Every 10 of our fingerprints is completely different.
Wow.
Every one of them. And the fingerprints on the right hand have to do with the outer life. The fingerprints on the left hand have to do with the inner life, and it's the same for left-handers. So the fingerprints are a record of our previous lives. They're a record of the talents and the abilities that we bring in from the previous life, and they're also a record of our challenges and our struggles that we must overcome from our previous life. So that's why these fingerprints are so important, because it talks about the previous lives and what we wanted and what we signed up for, if you will.
And how about the palms? They're both different. As I look at mine, they seem to be different.
They are different. And again, the planets on your left hand, or the configurations and the signs and the symbols, they all have to do with mostly your heart, your emotions, that type of thing. And on the right hand, again, you're dealing with the outer world, how people see you, how they relate with you, how you relate with others, and, of course, the talents and the abilities that we bring in to the world. So if you start looking at people's hands, you'll see that even the hands are just so dissimilar, even on the same person.
I noticed there are little lines going from the top of where my hand reaches where the fingers start, right at the base of where the fingers are. There are little lines that go all the way up the fingers to the fingerprints.
Yes, and I call those the activation verticals. That's great, George. Yeah, they're called activation verticals. And basically, it's like this. There's four main planets. The four major planets are Jupiter, Saturn, the Sun, and Mercury, and those are the fingers. And those verticals that are going into the fingers tell you the signs or the houses that the planets are in.
Amazing.
And you'll see even on your fingers, on the segments, every finger has three segments. Those activation verticals are also there too. And we have 12 segments on our fingers. Those are the zodiacal signs: Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, like that. So if you look at your hands, George, you'll see that there's 12 segments on the four fingers.
If you looked at the hands of a baby, would you be able to tell the parents something about that little kid?
Only if they can keep the kid's hand open for a minute. which is very difficult.
They get scared, right?
Yeah, and this, George, everything is on that hand. From the second they get out of the mom's womb, everything is on that hand. But it's just so miniature. It's easier to look at a kid's hand when they're 7 or 8 months. Their mom can get them to keep the hand open.
If they keep it open, though, as a baby, what does that tell you? Does it tell you what their personality is going to be like? Does it tell you what their future is going to be like?
Oh, you can see if the little girl is going to become an architect when she's 35. You could tell if a guy's going to be a boxer. Everything's on the hand. That person's destiny, the entire destiny, is on the hand. It's just miniature. And people always say, George, life doesn't come with instructions. But palmists don't believe that. All our instructions are on our hand.
Absolutely.
And on a little baby's hand in complete miniature. So you really need your microscope, your magnifying glass.
Well, let's talk about some various areas that you've looked at, Vernon. With the palm, for example, do they help you find a soulmate?
Yeah, and what I've seen is that a relationship can be soulmates for about 7 lifetimes. That's pretty much as many lifetimes as I've ever seen two souls. And it's kind of like, even today, like 3 lifetimes, that's a lot. But you do see that a lot. But 4 or 5, those I don't really see that too much.
That's amazing.
I would think that my brethren maybe 300, 400, 500 years ago saw that more. But we don't have a soulmate that, for instance, these two people stay together for lifetime after lifetime.
Right.
That's not true.
Do you have to see both hands, theirs and the person's?
No, I can just see if someone's been with a person for a year, so much of the other person is represented in a hand. Because
really?
We're spiritual souls, George, and the soul is inherently a purely emotional, and it's not energy, it's devotional. We are all heart. So when you're going out with someone or you're with someone, you can see that person's characteristics in the other person's hand, because the hand just kind of, they register the emotions, and that person becomes so much part of their life, it goes into their planetary karma. So, yeah, you can see kids, you can see everything.
Do the hands change at all in terms of the prints, or are they what they are when you're born?
They do change, and I'll tell you how they do. If you see a person, let's say, is destined or should be, let's say, become an architect, and the person doesn't become an architect, you'll see that written in their hand. You'll see the changes that they're just working as a secretary. And at the same time, if they are working at they are an architect or an interior designer, and they're doing really well, sometimes the lines or the configurations get even deeper or even more translucent almost on the hands, because it shows that the person's going beyond their karma, beyond their destiny, and they're really moving forward with it. So we have our talents from our previous life. We are born with a particular life purpose, and that was not given to us. It was something we desired from a previous life. So life is simply a continuum, and we just pick up from where we left off in the previous life. So all this stuff is seen in the palms, and there's a destiny for all of us. It's not a fate, but you'll see lines change if people are not doing their life work, and vice versa.
What comes first, the success or the palm that will show the success?
Oh, well, if someone's, let's say, destined to become like a David Bowie or a Ozzy Osbourne, you're going to see that in their hand. you're going to see the fame
before it it happens.
Oh yeah, you're going to see it when they're 6 years old. You're going to be able to see that this person is destined to be on stage.
All right, now explain what you are looking at to come up with that rationale.
Well, I'll just tell you, you look for a star, something that looks like a little five-pointed star, in the same area that you just talked about the interdigitals, and that would be under the ring finger, which is the finger of the sun. If somebody sees a five-pointed or maybe even a six-pointed star, they're spokes rather than a drawn star. They're like little spokes, but it's a star. If someone sees a star, they're going to be a star.
Left hand or right hand?
It's usually always on the right hand because the right hand is the outer self.
A little star right under there, huh?
Yeah, it's like little spokes. There's a middle and then four, five, or six spokes come out. And if the person has six or seven, that's a David Bowie.
What if you have what looks like a little tree with four branches or something?
Oh, well, it shows someone who's going to, somehow or other, they're going to be in the enlarged public arena. They will have some name and fame, definitely. They might not be a performer, but they will somehow be in the spotlight somehow.
Why does the palm show all these things we're going to be talking about tonight? The powers of psychic abilities, trends. Why are you able to read these on a hand?
There was a great palmist about 5,000 years ago. His name was Garga Rishi, and he wrote a book called the Hast, and this is Sanskrit, the Hast Samudraka Shastra. And Hast means hand, Samudraka means the study of, and Shastra means the scripture, actually, of, literally. And he said that God, or Lord Vishnu, as they worshipped him in India, gave us these signs and symbols on our hand so we could understand ourselves, where we came from, and where we're going in the next life.
Well, with Vernon Mahubble, we're talking about palm reading. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And you still have the Institute going in L.A.?
Yeah, I have it in L.A., and I have it in Portland, too.
Well, good for you. So you've expanded.
Yeah, thank you, George. Appreciate that.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, back to the palmistry and what you're able to see. When people say he's an old soul, what does that mean?
Well, I don't agree with that at all. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse that we palmists totally agree with. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. And it means that the soul's eternal. The soul, we've been in this material world for millennia. And we don't belong to the material world, but we are eternal. And in Sanskrit, the soul is called Sachit Ananda. Sachit Ananda is a Sanskrit term for the culture of the soul, and what the soul is eternal. We're eternal. We're full of joy internally. We're actually full of joy, and we have inner awareness. So that's what Sachit Ananda means. That's the constitutional position of the soul, to be eternal, joyful, and happy. Of course, while we're in the material world, we forget all of that.
That's true. Vernon, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about the soul, psychic powers, trends that you see, and then we'll take calls next hour on Coast to Coast. Going to take your calls next hour with Vernon Mahubble. As a matter of fact, you're going to read your palm to him, and he's going to tell you a little bit about what to expect in your life. So we're going to be doing that, plus just general questions about this. We got lots more to talk with him about when we come back. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie back with Vernon Mahubble as we are talking about palm reading. And he is one of the best in the country. How many palmistry readers are there in the country, Vernon?
I would say there's probably a few thousand.
Really? That many?
Yeah, but, you know, again, they're not... I'll put it to you this way. I would say... I'm surrounded by people who want to learn palmistry, and we have some people in the United States who are good at it. But I would say I could count maybe 10 people that I think are actually professional and give accurate readings. There's not that much push for palmists to be that amazing at what they do. So when I think that'll change in time. But in a sense, it's easy to pick up the basic ideas because there's palmistry books in the stores, Barnes and Nobles and stuff. But we don't have a lot of people who in our peers who are at the top of their game. I would say 10.
And it's not like a self-help thing. I mean, people just can't pick up a book and simply be reading palms, or can they?
You're going to learn a lot from a palmistry book, definitely. But it's basic. It's very, very difficult to translate astrological knowledge to paper, especially palmistic knowledge. So a lot of palmistry books are very, very simple. I think astrologers are way ahead of the game because they'll have like a whole book on Saturn or Pluto or Neptune. And every single book that comes out in palmistry is the beginner's guide to palmistry. so we're a little behind our esteemed astrological brethren, but we're coming up.
When we take calls next hour, beyond just questions about palm reading, how does that work? Because you obviously can't see the person's palm.
Oh, well, they can see their own palm, and that's all I need. So I'll tell you what they do. Ask them to give me one question.
Okay.
Be very specific, and I'm going to ask them to look at a specific area of their hand, and I'll tell them what's the answer.
You're going to just have them guide you right through their palm.
Yeah.
Okay,
great. So I'm going to make palm readers out of everyone out there.
Super. Is there a specific? You're going to get a lot of phone calls. Trust me. Is there a specific point on the palm which activates what you call strong psychic intuition?
Yes, there is. It's one of the best and most advantageous ways to bring in your psychic powers is to take your right thumb and just hold it over your left thumb. As I said before, the left hand has everything to do with the inner self, and that's connected very much to our emotional soul. So if a person says to themselves, I need some clarity, I need some insight, I need that still small voice to speak to me, well, take your right hand and with your first finger and your thumb, just wrap it around your left thumb, and this will activate intuition. And just hold it there. You don't have to hold it too tight. Just hold it lightly and ask your question. And then feel the energies in your left thumb. See if you can feel them. And then immediately just take your right hand off for a little bit. But keep your right hand on your thumb for maybe a minute or two, and you'll get intuition. If you do this a lot, you'll start to become actually psychic.
Well, why is it, Vernon, when we put our hands together, whether we're sitting or whatever, you feel a little more comfortable. You feel more at ease.
George, this is the prayer mode. When people are feeling any sense of gratitude, or they're meeting someone, or they just want to feel calm and peaceful in their life, what do? We put our hands together. And what does that mean? Well, we're bringing the two brains. The right hand represents the left brain, and it's vice versa. The left hand represents the right brain. So when you put your hands together in prayer, or you keep them together, you're sitting and you're just keeping your hands on your lap, claps together, well, what you're doing is you're bringing in both brains, and you're bringing in the subconscious with the conscious. And it's that balance between the two makes a person calm. It makes a person peaceful. It relaxes you. And interestingly enough, George, that's also a methodology to get some insight or intuition. It won't give you psychic power like putting your right hand over your thumb, left mm-hmm. thumb, but it will give you some good insight sometimes.
Interesting. Now, we're at a point with COVID-19 and related issues that have got people so uptight. I've never seen anything like it, Vernon, ever in my life. Have you?
No, never. My God, no. So I'm just shocked by what I'm seeing.
So you talk about the placement of the hands that could bring some immediate peace and relaxation. What is that?
Oh, again, that would be actually in prayer mode. In other words, keeping your hands in prayer mode, like you're praying.
Okay.
And even more powerful, it's called a mudra in Sanskrit. You hold that praying stance, and you hold it above your head. And just do that for 30 seconds.
Somebody's about ready to go into a meeting, a business meeting, a job interview, and they lack internal confidence. You can change that, can't you?
Yeah, and George, how many times have you seen a football player catch the ball, score a touchdown? What do they do? The first thing they do with their hand.
They get down and kneel.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. That's true. But have you seen a lot of football linebackers, they hold their first finger up into the sky?
Yep.
That's what they do. So they're actually doing something subconsciously that, hey, I just scored a touchdown. I'm number one. I'm confident. I'm so happy. My God. So if a person needs a quick boost of confidence and even self-awareness, but just needs that extra spark to just walk into that meeting, as you said, they should just hold the first finger of their right hand. Don't use the left hand, but the first finger of the right hand, and just hold it up into the sky. Maybe,
before you get in the meeting.
Before you get into the meeting. Otherwise, they might fire you. But, just hold the finger up, kind of like into the air. Just like you're just caught a pass, and you just scored a touchdown. And do it for a second or two.
That's all you need?
That's it. You'll feel an immediate, you'll just feel, hey, I can do this.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll try that, too, on stuff.
Football players have done it subconsciously for years. They don't know why they're doing it. But they're saying, the crowd's saying, oh, yeah, number one. He's saying, I'm number one. He's not. Subconsciously, he's saying, no, I just scored a touchdown. I am so happy. I'm so happy.
What is the lifeline?
Well, George, when people think of palmistry, that's the first line that they think of, the lifeline. And it's always ascribed to health. And I can't tell you how many times, George, people said, my lifeline is split into three, or it's cut in two, and it's this and it's that. Am I going to die early? Am I going to have poor health? Well, it's the most maligned and misunderstood line in palmistry. It has nothing to do with health. And actually, a break in the line can show a new relationship. So it's the line of the second chakra. And the second chakra has everything to do with relationships. It has everything to do with procreation, enjoyment from sex, kids, all that kind of stuff. So a broken lifeline could actually be good because you get in a nicer relationship.
Vernon Mahubble with us. We're going to take calls next hour. Ask him about palm reading. If you want your own reading, he's going to have you describe your palm and ask him a specific question, and then he'll take it away, and we'll go with that. Let's talk about some trends that you see in our country because of how. Palms?
Yeah, I mean, really, that's my only view to this. Sometimes, occasionally, I'll call an astrological friend or get on the same page with them. But generally, the hand to me is my astrological chart. But yeah, so the trends that I see, I'm seeing them on Americans from all walks of life, every profession, and every state in the country. So do you want me to talk about the next year, 2021?
Yeah, absolutely. 2022? Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to be very honest here. In 2020, people didn't like that they had to wear masks, et cetera, but people in good faith went ahead and did it.
That's
even
right.
Those who didn't agree, they went ahead and did it. And again, people did it in good faith, and they put up with it. And, of course, now we're seeing that there could be even more governmental aspects like that. One could say conspiratorially that the New World Order got away with this, so they're going to do more. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Are you not saying that, are you?
I did say it, but what I am saying is that is that this year that we went through, George, was a Mercury period. And Mercury is the, and this is what I've been seeing on hands for this entire, I just been studying this and researching it and investigating and keeping like a lot of notes because.
Well, did you see something that was going to happen? Maybe you didn't know exactly what it was going to be, but you felt something big was on the horizon.
Oh, 220. You know what I thought, George? I thought like you, there could be a power outage. There could be. I thought the power was going to go out. The grid. I saw it as a situation where the electricity was out because what did people do? They closed their stores. There was no movement. So I thought the power grid was going to go out, and I did see it, but I didn't know it was a virus because I don't really. I didn't see that.
I've said several times on this program years ago, and it's on record, that I felt of something impending and big and just mind-boggling that was going to happen to this planet. I said, well, I don't know what it was, folks. I don't know if it was an asteroid or what.
George, I think I know what it was. Your esteemed guests are full of sight. They're psychics. They're intuitives. They're elevated people. So it's you're becoming that.
I'm learning. I guess I'm learning from all of you.
Yeah, you become who you associate with. So it's going into the ether, and you're picking this up. Yep.
All right. So for 22, what do you see?
Okay. So, so as I was saying before, this year, pretty much all this year was a Mercury year. Now Mercury's the planet of freedom. It is the planet of communication. So we did see that. But especially for where it was placed this year it's the planet of it influenced people to take vacations, go places. They wanted to explore things and get out of the house. In August of 220, this coming August.
Do you mean August of?
No, I'm sorry.
We're already in August.
I'm sorry. In October of this year, 221, right. August of 222, we go through what I see as a Venus period. There's some other planets augmenting this, but Venus is in a very, very, very inauspicious position. So Venus is generally the planet of love, planet of warmth and harmony. And marriage. And what I'm seeing in people's hands, and I have been seeing this entire year, is that, as I said, Venus is in a really terrible period. And it's the archetype of this is instead of love and a romance, a divorce. So I do see the government pushing more and more, state governments, federal governments, whatever, they're going to push more mandates, they got away with that. They got away with 220 and they're going to continue it. Now, because it's the archetype of the divorce, well, we're going to see a tremendous amount of pushback. We're already seeing that. But I just see that the government is going to come down really heavy on certain issues, and there's going to be a lot of heavy oppositions, a lot of clashes. I don't see, thank God, George, I don't see violence. But I there could be confrontations, but there will be a lot of clashes,
chaos,
a lot of pushback. Yes, absolutely. I that's what I see, George. And there's going to be defiance on both sides. This is going to be from October 21 to August 2022, 13-month period. It's going to be a period of just it's tenacious
calamity.
Yeah it's the opposite of Venus. In other words, the Venusian energy, as I said before, is love, balance, harmony, working together. When Venus is in this bad of a position and also Pluto is doing its thing, what happens is that it's a divorce. And what happens in a divorce? They fight, they argue, they call the cops, all kinds of stuff happens, lawsuits. I mean next year is let's say both sides are not going to stay silent. Any side that's been silent is not going to stay silent. Now, I'm not going to lie, George, it's going to be a very heavy year next year.
You've never lied to us. You don't lie.
Okay, it's just an expression. I'm sorry, I'm from New York. But
they used to tell me, be weary of somebody who says, I'll never lie to you.
Yeah.
Because that's what they could do.
Yeah, or let me be truthful.
Trust me. Trust
exactly.
me. Anyways, Vernon, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and take calls with you in a moment. He needs a question, and then he's going to go through your hand, and you two can work it out. We'll be back.